Much. Proverbs chapter 27 this morning. Proverbs chapter 27. I have three series going on. I'm going to give you a message out of every one of them this morning. No, I'm just kidding with you there, okay? We're going back to our Smashing Satan Stronghold series this morning. Just different giants, if you will, of the flesh that seemingly come out in our life, and we need help in living in victory over them. We've come to another stronghold. I have no idea how long I'll be in this particular series. I'm just going to keep going as long as the Lord have me to go. I've preached on several strongholds already. You can go back and get them. Today we're going to preach on another one that I'm sure nobody in here ever deals with, okay? Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 4. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? Now, we've already preached on envy and jealousy. So today, if you mark your Bible, I want you to mark the word in the middle of the verse, the word anger. And today, I preach to you on the stronghold of anger. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us today. Forgive my sins. Help me to be clean. And I pray, as you've put this message on my heart, that you will help me to relay this message in a way that's pleasing to you. May every person here understand exactly what's being spoken. And may you give us help against this stronghold of anger. May the will of God be done now, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we embark on another stronghold that is running rampant in our streets, running rampant in our schools, running rampant in our homes and even our individual lives. It's the stronghold of anger. Anger has been defined as a strong feeling of displeasure and belligerence. It's been identified as wrath or ire. The anger we're speaking of in this stronghold, now get this now, this is important that you understand this, is not to be confused with the righteous anger that was shown by the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, in Mark chapter 3, verses 1 to 5 is the story of on the Sabbath day, when a man with a withered hand comes in and the Lord looks at him and is going to heal him. And the Bible says he looks around at all those people there who don't want him to heal on the Sabbath day. And the Bible says he looked around on them in anger, is what it says. We're not talking about that anger. I'll explain it in just a moment. We're not talking about the anger that's found in John chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. Well, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the temple when the money changers were there, and he made a cord, basically a whip with some small cords, and drove them out of the temple and overthrew the tables and cleansed the temple in anger, in righteous anger. We're not talking about that kind of anger. As a matter of fact, one preacher put it well when he said this: to understand Jesus' anger, we have to understand the money changers. See, they were practicing a kind of ecclesiastical extortion on the holiest ground in the world. This was the only place where people could come to worship God on the high holy days, and they were instructed to bring a sacrifice. So what they would do is they would bring the best from their flocks, their most unblemished lambs, only to be turned down by the priest inspection. See, the priest, of course, had a sweet deal with the men over the money tables who happened to have the acceptable stock guaranteed to pass inspection for sacrifice. So see, the prices were like concession prices in a modern-day stadium or theater, sky high in the absence of competition or controls. So people were coming to worship God, and they were being institutionally cheated. But there was more that raised the ire, the wrath, or the anger of Jesus. See, the merchants had set up shop in the court of the Gentiles, the Bible says. And this was the outer court of the temple, and the only place provided for non-Jews to worship. Needless to say, it was a special thing to have Gentiles come to worship the one true God. And historically, this court was specially set aside and protected, but the merchants had cut it off. They had filled it up with all the supplies and the baggage and essentials of their money-making trade. The Gentiles had no other place to go. And Jesus, who knew he had come to seek and to save the lost, including lost Gentiles, could in no way accept such a thing. This preacher went on to say this: his anger was righteous anger directed at injustice against people and against God. His anger was not about himself, but was about the glory of God. Righteous anger is never about ourselves. It's always forgetful of self. We're not talking about the anger that Jesus displayed for the glory of his heavenly Father. That's not the anger we're talking of. But rather, on the other side, we need to understand that the stronghold of anger we are speaking of is a different kind of anger. It's the kind that has nothing to do with the glory of God. But rather, it comes out when we feel that we have been wronged. It's self-centered, not God-centered. It's a flying off the handle attitude when things don't go your way or you feel that you've been wronged. It's losing your temper. It's flying off the handle this, flying off the handle that. And may I say to you that this kind of anger can manifest itself in so many different ways. It can show itself in losing your temper, speaking evil things about others, or simply having inner turmoil that nobody else knows anything about. The word, it, for instance, can I just get personal with you? As I've done before, it's like when I was growing up and took a baseball bat after my brother. It's like when my great aunt Gladys tells me, of course it's her word against mine, but she claims that she saw me chasing my brother on a riding lawnmower, trying to run over it. It's the losing the temper when I was a kid. My brother just knew how to get under my skin. He still does. Sometimes I do wonder if I did really hit him in the head with the baseball bat. But it's when he was sitting from here to the piano right there from me, and I used to have a good arm, friends. It's slowing down a little bit, but I used to have a pretty good arm, and I took a baseball and I threw it at him as hard as I could this close to him. You say, I've never done anything like that. You ever spoken an ill word about somebody who kind of rubbed you wrong? It's no different. You say, Jody, what are you talking about? I'm talking about anger. I'm talking about when something rubs you wrong and your mouth starts spitting out things. I'm talking about when you start getting like this, even if you never show it, it's inside and it's working all over you. That's a stronghold. And I want to talk to you about it. The Word of God gives several examples of this. This is all introduction. The Word of God gives several examples of this. For instance, one of them would be Cain killing his brother Abel. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 5 to 8, I'm not going to turn to these passages or we may never get through, but you can write them down if you'd like to get them, or you can just ask me for my notes. I'll be happy to give them to you. In Genesis chapter 5, verses 4 to 8, Abel brings an acceptable offering. Cain does not bring an acceptable offering. And the Bible says that Cain was wroth. He was mad. He was angry. And the Bible says because of his anger, he killed his brother Abel. And God said, where's your brother? And he got smart-aleck with God and said, am I my brother's keeper? We're talking about something in the Bible like Simeon and Levi, whenever their sister was defiled and they took matters into their own hands. In Genesis chapter 34 and then chapter 49 verses 5 to 7 starts relaying about it. And what they did, they made a false promise to those men and said, if you'll just circumcise yourself, then we will let us our children marry your children and we'll marry your children. But they did all that just so that they'd be defenseless and helpless. And whenever they were sore, the Bible says, they took their swords and went in and slew them. And in Genesis chapter 49, verses 5 to 7 says the reason they did that is because they were cruel and they were angry and they were mad. It's things like the Bible has to say when Saul became envious and mad and wroth and angry whenever the people back in that city would say, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And the Bible says Saul got angry with that. He got mad about it. It's the kind of anger that whenever Saul's jealousy was raging inside of him, and Jonathan, Saul's own son, this is found in 1 Samuel 18, 8 was his anger towards David. Then in chapter 20, verses 30 to 34, Jonathan is sitting at the table to eat with his own daddy, and his daddy's upset with David, and Jonathan starts taking up for David, and Saul got mad. And he took up a javelin and he threw it at his own boy. This is the kind of anger we're talking about. The kind that when something just doesn't go your way, that you just fly off the handle, you throw things, even if you never do it physically, you're doing it in your mind. It's things like the Bible says when Naaman got upset with Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, when he was a leper and he went to Elisha, and Elisha didn't even come out personally and meet him. He said, go dip yourself seven times in Jordan. And the Bible says Naaman got mad. And he said, are there not other rivers cleaner than Jordan? It's that kind of anger. It's the kind of anger that you find in Uzziah in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 16 to 21. When the Bible says he was marvelously helped till he was strong. And the Bible says that he intruded into the priest's office. And the priest confronted him, and the Bible says he got mad. And the Bible says as he had the censer in his hand that the leprosy came up in him. And he died a leper. It's the kind of anger that you find about the people of Nazareth whenever the Lord was preaching the truth to them in Luke chapter 4, verses 21 to 30. And the Bible says they got mad and they let him out and they were going to throw him down to kill him. It's the kind of anger that Jonah had towards God in Jonah chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 4, whenever God showed mercy to the Ninevites, and the Bible says Jonah sat down and got mad because he didn't want mercy to be shed on the Ninevites. Selfish. It's the kind of anger that the prodigal son's brother had. Whenever the prodigal son came home and his daddy made a feast, but in Luke chapter 15, verse 28, you see the prodigal son's brother out having a self-pity party, and the Bible says he got mad. He was angry. He was wroth. It's the kind of anger that you see that King Herod had whenever the wise men came searching for the Christ child. And he said, go find him, and when you find him, come and bring me word back again, because he thought he was bigger than God, and he was going to go murder prematurely the blessed Son of God. And the Bible says the wise men being led went out a different way, and when news came back, the Bible says Herod got mad. And you know what he did? He sent into that country for every baby boy 2 years old or younger, and he slaughtered them. Now you say, Jody, this is hard. I don't deal with that. Can I say something to you? You are in your human flesh. And in your human flesh, you and I are capable to do anything that I just said to you today. And when something rubs you wrong, or something doesn't work the way you want it, or somebody says a cruel word to you, or somebody rubs you the wrong way, if you're not careful, that stronghold of anger is going to start welling up inside of you. Now, I want to talk about this kind of anger. My friends, this world is an angry place. All you got to do is turn on the evening news. One preacher put it this way, and I quote, the following manifestations are actually credited in news stories. In other words, these are news headlines, if you will. Road rage, parking rage, air rage, boat rage, surf rage, fishing rage, river rage, pedestrian rage, pavement rage, jogger rage, biker rage, trucker rage, cell phone rage, shopping rage, grocery cart rage, and checkout line rage. That is all in newspapers. Anger's a real issue. And if you don't get a hold on it, it'll destroy your life. And if you don't get a hold on it, you'll end up hurting others that are around you. A 37-year-old man confessed that after getting angry about a dispute with his wife, he murdered his four young children by throwing them off of an island bridge. You say that man's wacko. You got it. He's wacko. But it all started because he didn't know how to handle his anger. Two men driving in Southern California got into a battle of road rage after one cut the other off in a parking lot. And the hot-headed men sped out of the parking lot in a fit of anger, chasing, driving recklessly, dodging and weaving in and out of traffic. They endangered a lot of lives before one finally forced the other to careen out of control, and the driver frantically tried to regain control, but in the process, an innocent little girl on a nearby sidewalk was killed. A young life was taken simply because two men became needlessly angry at each other. One preacher put it this way: what makes anger so elusive and so incredibly dangerous is that it flares suddenly, powerfully, and irrationally. Every person here today, from me on out, every person here today has the capability of flying off the handle, throwing your temper, speaking in anger toward one another. And if you're not careful, you can become like the following story. It's a humorous story, but don't miss it. The story is told of a woman who was bitten by a mad dog, and it looked as if she was going to die of rabies. So the doctor came in to her and said, "You need to make your will because you're dying." She took her pen and paper and began to write, and she wrote and wrote and wrote, and the doctor finally said, "That surely is a long will you're making." She snorted, this story says, and said, "Will, nothing. I'm making a list of people I want to bite before I die." You know what anger is? You know what throwing your temper is? Don't get me tickled now, friends. You know what anger is? You know what throwing your temper is? It's when something's hurting you, you want others to hurt. And I'll tell you one thing, friends. I want to look into the Word of God and give you three things about this kind of anger. And I don't want you to tune me out. Because, again, every stronghold that I preach on, you may not be literally dealing with it, but you have a capability of dealing with it. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Let me give you three things about this kind of anger. Number one, let's see the condemnation of it. The first thing we see within the Word of God is how this kind of anger is condemned by God. He does not want this type of selfish, ungodly anger to be a part of His children's lives. Listen to these verses. I'm going to pump you full of Scripture today. By the way, that's our authority. I give you the Word of God. It doesn't matter what I say, but it makes a whole lot of difference what God says. And let me give you Scripture after Scripture after Scripture, and listen to how God condemns it. Listen to this, Ephesians 4:31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Ecclesiastes 7:9, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry." Get this, "For anger resteth in the bosom of fools." Boy, that is powerful. God says if you are hasty to be angry, if something happens, you just fly off the handle. God says you're a fool. That's foolish. That's a condemnation if you ask me, friends. If God calls you a fool, you're a fool. And God is saying, don't let it have part in your life. Proverbs 14, 17 and 19, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." Proverbs 22, 24, "Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go." Ladies, teenagers, young single girls, you're searching for a husband. Can I give you a word of advice? If you are dating a young man and he flies off the handle, you better get away from him. I'll amen myself today, friends. You better get away from him. Because if he flies off the handle at somebody else, he'll fly off the handle on you before it's over with. Amen. It's awful quiet in here. It's okay for you to say amen, friends. And moms and dads who have a teenage girl, it's okay for you to say amen right there. Because I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God says, make no friendship with an angry man. That's what God said, not me. God said that. Let me give you some more here. Proverbs 21, 19 and 24. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. I didn't say it. I'm just reading Scripture. You're getting me tickled now, friends. Stop it. Proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. Did you hear that? Proud and haughty scorner is his name that dealeth in proud wrath. God says if you have anger that comes out just because you're proud, something rubbed you wrong, it's self-centered, it has nothing to do with the glory of God, it has to do with your glory. God says you are proud, haughty, and a haughty scorner. That's what you are. You know what a scorner does? Makes fun of truth. You know what I see in all these verses? God's condemning it. He's condemning it. Listen to this. Psalm 37, 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Proverbs 12, 16, a fool's wrath is presently known. You know what that means? That means a fool makes his wrath known right now. You ever been around somebody that you're almost afraid to do anything around them because you're afraid they might hurt somebody if you rub them wrong? God says, that's a fool who does that. That's foolish. Listen to these verses. Galatians 5, 19 and 20. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Let me ask you a question. Does God want his children to be associated or known by the works of the Spirit or the works of the flesh? By the fruit of the Spirit or by the works of the flesh? By the fruit of the Spirit, correct? Amen. That's not a trick question. He wants you to be led by the fruit of the Spirit. He wants you to be summarized by the fruit of the Spirit, not the works of the flesh. And God's Word says this. Here are the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, here we go, wrath, anger, strife, seditions, and heresies. James 1, 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Proverbs 27, 4. It's our verse. Wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous. Proverbs 19, 11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. In other words, an understanding man, the discretion of a man, he may be getting anger, but he defers it. And if he's been wrong, he just looks over it. He does not let it take root in his heart and life. Proverbs 16, 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Matthew 5, 21 and 22. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, this is Jesus speaking, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Make no mistakes about it. This type of anger that all of us are capable of has been condemned by our Creator. When you look at these verses, and I'm just summarizing here, he identifies it as foolish, fleshly, proud, and outrageous. He commands us to put it away, cease from it, defer it, separate from it. And he says, ultimately, it is worthy of judgment. The condemnation of it. Secondly, let me give you the consequences of it. In other words, as with all sin, anger has a high price tag upon it. And at the time, now get this. Do you know that so many times all of us listen to what the devil says? You have a right to be angry. God understands that you were done wrong. Get mad. Even Jesus got angry. It's not the same kind of anger. If your anger is because God has been blasphemed, God's name has been dragged through the mud, God has not been glorified, then that's righteous anger. As long as you don't show it in an unrighteous way now. But what I'm talking about is when self is hurt. Poor little old me. I can't believe somebody do that to me. I'll tell you one thing. By the way, if you listen to that kind of stuff, and if you're a friend that somebody always comes and spews to you on, you need to check your friendship. You need to check it. Because an attitude like that is contagious and poisonous. And I'm telling you that at the time, you may try, and I may even try to justify a temper tantrum. Or a verbal attack. But our reasoning, listen to this now. Our reasoning will never stop the reaping. If you have anger and it's going to blow up and here it comes, you can justify all you want to. But it will not stop the consequences. I want to give you two of them. Let me give you one. Here's what I'm saying. These consequences and the way God condemns this kind of anger, these are enough to cause us not to give in to anger even when we feel like we are in the right, friends. Let me give you these two consequences. Number one, strife. The word strife means discord. It means contention. It means quarrel, fight, fighting. In other words, where God wants there to be unity, wants there to be peace. When anger is thrown into it, it blows that to smithereens. For instance, the Word of God speaks of this. Listen to this. Proverbs 29:22. An angry man stirreth up strife. That's what it says. And a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Listen to this. Proverbs 15:18. A wrathful man, an angry man, stirreth up strife. But he that's slow to anger appeaseth strife. In other words, if you're angry, all you're doing is stirring the pot. That's all you're doing. But if you cease from that, then when somebody wants you to stir it, you just let it rest. And over time, those ripples are going to get smaller and smaller. And before you know it, it's back to where it needs to be. Can I say something to you? I'm getting ahead of myself. But when you catch yourself boiling, now, I know we've never had anybody boiling inside in this congregation. But you catch yourself boiling. Can I give you a word of encouragement? Just don't do anything. Give it a little bit of time, and God will calm you down. Can I say this as well? This is not my notes. I get in trouble when I get away from my notes. I have learned when I get mad and I get upset, it happens to all of us. You know what I've learned? When I make myself get out somewhere alone and I start talking to God, I don't stay mad very long. Because no matter what anybody may do to me or no matter how bad I may think it is on me, he always does this to me, basically. Remember what you did to me, boy? Aren't you glad I'm not mad at you today? By the way, if God's mad at you, you got problems. And I'm telling you today that this kind of anger, one consequence that it causes is it causes strife. Proverbs 30:33, surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood, so the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. We see this in the life of Saul and Jonathan, his own son. I alluded to that. Jacob and Rachel. Rachel got upset and said, "Give me children." And the Bible says Jacob got mad. And there was strife among a husband and wife in the home. That's in Exodus 30:1-2. Esau and Jacob, Genesis 27:41-45. Brothers are at odds with one another. All of this illustrates how anger can cause strife even among those that you love the most in this world. Number one, strife. Number two, exposure. Exposure. Another sobering consequence of anger is making yourself exposed to the attack of the enemy. You say, where do you get this? Listen to this verse. Write this down now. Proverbs 25, 28. Listen to this verse. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Did you hear that verse? He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. In other words, just as a city that's broken down and without walls is completely exposed and defenseless. See, the walls of the city were its protection. It kept the enemy out. And God said, if you don't have any self-control of your own spirit, you're like a city that has no protection. Your walls are broken down. And he's saying this, you are defenseless at the moment that your temper's flaring. And the devil can take you out at that moment. One preacher put it this way, anger is the acid that can harm the vessel in which it is stored even more than the person on whom it is poured. I like that. It's like this following story. In February 2008, there was a man who was convicted of stealing over $20,000 of government grants while he served as a city council member in Dallas, Texas. And because he had kidney cancer and used a wheelchair, the U.S. district judge told him he could choose between serving a month in prison or publicly apologizing for his actions. And this man chose to go to prison instead. He'd rather go to prison than apologize. And the fact is when we choose to harbor bitter feelings or resentment towards another person, we think we're getting even with them, but in reality, we are making ourselves prisoners. That's what it is. The bottom line is unrighteous anger has nothing good that comes out of nothing. A lady came to Billy Sunday and attempted to rationalize her angry outburst, and she said this. She said, there's nothing wrong with losing my temper. I blow up, and then it's all over. Billy Sunday said this, so does a shotgun. And look at the damage it leaves behind. It just blows up too. It's over. But what about those that were in its line of fire? Now it's 12:01. Relax, I'm going on. Because I need to give you some help in this. Number one, the condemnation of it. Number two, the consequences of it. Number three, the conquering of it. How do you conquer it? I'm glad the Lord doesn't only condemn our sin, but He also gives the pathway to victory over our sin. Keep in mind that these battles against strongholds, they're all the same. A little different occasionally, but they're all the same, that they can only be won in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I want to give you a four-step plan, and I'm going to do this quickly now. So, again, if you want my notes, you can have them. I'm trying to make my notes available to you in the future anyway, all of them. Just take them. Let me give you a four-step plan. Number one, discharge it. You say, what do you mean by discharge? It means put it away. Dismiss it. Don't let it take root. Listen to these verses. Ephesians 4, 29 to 32, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Get this now. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, here it is, be put away from you. That's where I get discharged. Send it away with all malice. Be a kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Colossians 3:8. But now ye also put off these. Put them off. Discharge them. Send them away. Just like my coat here. God says if it starts coming on, just put it off. Now let me explain. You cannot do that in your own strength. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. One preacher put it well by saying this. In one defining moment, we can choose to put away the impure feelings, as Paul counsels us to do, or we can build a little nest. The moment we take note of an angry impulse and refuse to send it away, we put the first twig into that nest, and we all know what happens in a nest sooner or later. Something hatches and flies out. In other words, at the moment when anger tries to embed itself in your mind and in your heart, don't rationalize it. Don't think that you have the right to be angry. See it for what it is. See God's condemnation and say, God, help me. Put it away from me. Discharge it. Number two, desire the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:1-2 says this, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You need to understand that there is no real lasting victory over any stronghold, especially this one, but over any stronghold apart from the Word of God. When you sense the stronghold of anger taking a hold of you, run to the Bible. Desire it, crave it, and trust the Lord to help you through it. Learn verses that deal with anger and quote them out loud when you're tempted to throw your temper. Read the Word of God. Heed the Word of God. Memorize and meditate upon the Word of God. Number three, defer judgment to God. Number one, discharge it, get rid of it. Number two, desire the Bible, make it a steady dose of your diet. Number three, defer judgment to God. Here's what I mean by this. When we become angry, we have a tendency to become a judge in our own minds. We learn from the Word of God that we're not to try and repay those who wrong us, but rather we're to give place to wrath, realizing that I'm not the judge, God is. Listen to this. Romans 12:18-19, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You understand what I mean by defer judgment to God? Realize that you're not the judge. God is. And God says this, brethren, don't try to avenge yourself. Give place to wrath. Step away from it. Give place to it. And realize vengeance is mine. Number four, finally, do good to those that wrong you. Do good to them instead. Romans 12:18-21, if it be possible as much as lieth in you to live peace with all men, avenge not yourselves, give place to wrath, all of this. Listen to this. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. 1 Peter 3:8-11, finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Another portion is Luke 6:27-37. You know a great way to combat anger? If it's towards somebody who's done something to you, they said something, they did something, you know what God tells you to do here? Don't render evil for evil. But if your enemy hungers, give him something to eat. If he thirsts, give him something to drink. You know what we have a tendency to do when we're angry at somebody? I don't care if they get another meal in their life. Let them die of thirst. They deserve it. But the one who tells us to do this is the ultimate example of it, isn't he? God says, love your enemies. Does he have a right to say that? Absolutely. For God so loved the world. And yet God said, the world is our enemy. The world is not the friend of God. The world is the enemy of God. And God says, I love them anyway. Now, I'm about done. One preacher put it this way, talking about anger. Don't nurse it. Don't rehearse it. Don't converse about it. Don't disperse it. But rather reverse it. In other words, if you've been done bad, do good instead. We should refuse to retaliate and do what's right by God. Now we all know that the Lord Jesus' anger was admirable. But the anger that we deal with most of the time is abominable. And we've seen in this message how God condemns this unrighteous anger. He shows the consequences of it and gives a plan to conquer it. Now, while the focus of this message has been on the stronghold of anger, and if you're dealing with that, God can help you with it. Let me close this message by showing you a different way God laid on my heart. We've looked at the anger of Jesus and how it was righteous anger because His Father's glory was being blasphemed. The message was about human anger, fleshly anger, flying off the handle, and we've preached a majority on that. But I want to conclude with the anger of God. And I want to give you some things about it. First of all, God is slow to anger. We see this in Psalm 103:8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. We see that for the child of God, the anger of God will never be experienced. You know what it means if you're saved? It means God's wrath has been appeased. It means God's anger has been appeased in your life. And I'm telling you that if you're saved, God's done a whole lot for you, friend. He has ceased His anger towards you. Romans 5, 8, and 9 teaches this. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 teaches this. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 teaches this. Here's what it says. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. But I close with this thought. If there's a non-believer here today, you will experience, if you die in the state you're in, you will experience the wrath of God for all eternity. I want to give you these verses. I'm closing. Here we go. Psalm 7:11. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Nahum 1:2, God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious and will take vengeance on His adversaries, and He reserveth wrath for His enemies. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Closing text, Revelation 6:12 to 17. Listen to this. This is the story of after, if you will, right here. We have been. If you're saved, you have been. You've been raptured. You've been raptured. Listen to this. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man, in other words, everybody, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? If you are not a child of God, please see the danger you're in. Because when God is angry with you, you got major problems. But through Jesus Christ, we who had the wrath of God on us, when we trusted Christ as our Savior, His wrath was quenched. And now we are at peace with God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You today. And I pray that You'll help us as we try to draw the net here. I pray, our Father, that You will touch this sermon and bless it. Help those who are dealing with fleshly anger to get help. And those who are still under the wrath of God to be saved today. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. When they get prepared, they'll begin to play through softly. There are two types of people here today, those whose God's wrath has been appeased and those that the wrath of God still abides on you. Do you know for sure heaven's your home? Trusted Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Has the wrath of God been appeased? If not, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Today, you who have God's anger on you can have God's peace ruling and reigning. Or maybe today God is speaking to you about this stronghold of anger, not the anger that Jesus had, and not the anger that God the Father has, but the anger that human beings get when they get rubbed wrong and in flesh, self-centeredness, they fly off the handle, temper tantrums, even if they never throw them where others can see them. Yet in their own heart and mind, they're dealing with anger, speaking evil of other people, not giving place to wrath, but rather taking vengeance in your own hands when God says it's not yours to take, it's mine. Maybe God's speaking to you about this stronghold. I want to invite you to come in just a moment. And I remind you that if you're dealing with it, number one, when it hits you, discharge it. Put it off in the power of the Holy Spirit. Ask God to help you. Desire the Word of God and feed yourself in the Word of God. Learn scriptures that deal with anger and learn to quote them out loud whenever you're dealing with this. Defer judgment to God. Don't take judgment in your own hands. Give it to God. He's the judge. Vengeance is His. You take care of it. You defer it to God. And finally, if somebody has wronged you and they were wrong and it made you mad, but God is telling you, you know what you need to do instead of trying to take it out on them, why don't you do something good for them? Would you send them a card and tell them you're praying for them if you are? It's hard to do that, I know. But it's the right thing. I don't know how God's using this, but let Him have His way. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this stronghold and give help, give blessing. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to sing. If God is speaking to you, would you come? Come now, please.
Have
would you do
thine
that?
Own way, Lord.
So I need help with this. Come
have
on. Come talk to God about it.
Thou art the potter, I am.
Father, bless it now. Take it and use it. Bless our missionaries. He preaches tonight. Use him in a mighty way. Keep your hand upon this church, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Thank you. Be back tonight if you can. If you came on the buses, if you'll try to go straight to your buses now, that would be great.